Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Why some folks are passing on Uber and Lyft for a $1 hitchhike.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Hello, this is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in New York. So there's a Bay Area tradition called casual carpool. Thousands of San Francisco commuters use a grassroots hitchhiking system to get to work each morning. Now, usually tech enhances these types of experiences, but in this case, as it does, the old school method seems to win out. But could it merge with new tech to bring about a perfect hybrid of the two? Let's get a little bit more from the Wall Street Journal's Laura Stevens patching in from our San Francisco bureau. Welcome back, Laura.
Thank you.
So, casual carpool predates Uber and Lyft or any newfound tech innovation, and it's alive and well despite the rise of these ride-sharing apps. Can you break this down for us? Because it's a really cool old-school word-of-mouth hitchhiking system that's been around for a while. Walk us through it.
Right. Well, so it's called casual carpool, as you said, and it's basically kind of this weird grassroots hitchhiking movement that started on the East Bay, so across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco. Probably in the 70s, definitely took off in 1979 when there was a BART strike for the subway here for 90 days.
Okay.
And so ever since then, it's kind of been this entrenched system here in the Bay Area and something that startups haven't been able to dethrone.
Yeah, it makes sense. And you see why it's great for both parties. It gets riders where they need to go and drivers alike. They hop into the carpool lane, and that's obviously a much smoother sail to the destination. Are a lot of people in on this? How many people utilize this? Any specific stats on that?
Yeah, there was one transit study that was done that shows more than 6,000 people use it every day from about 24 stops around the Bay Area. And I spoke with a researcher who's researched the phenomena, and she said that drivers on average wait about 2 minutes for a passenger. Riders wait about 2.5 minutes. So it's also quite reliable. You really don't have to wait too long. And usually supply and demand matches up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And amazingly, no apps involved. But this is an unregulated service. But that's not to say that there aren't rules. So what are some of the standard unwritten rules that these riders abide by?
Well, it's funny. So I actually just recently moved to the Bay Area and started doing this myself, which is how I found out about it.
Okay.
But it's very weird. You get in the car, nobody talks. It's basically up to the driver. If they would like to talk, then you might have a conversation. If not, then everybody stays quiet. You contribute a dollar to help pay for gas and the toll. Mm-hmm. Usually NPR or some kind of podcast or some kind of talk radio is on. It's supposed to be something kind of non-offensive to the riders.
Okay, so no music, then, just in case. Okay, got it.
Yeah, I mean, no fragrances is another big one. No perfume. It might give the driver a migraine, I found out.
Oh, so, interesting. It's not unlike the unwritten transit rules a lot of commuters follow. I'm in New York City, and as a commuter, that's very reminiscent of my bus ride in. There's sort of like these unwritten rules that everyone kind of gets. But, so there are certain techie things that these ride apps have going for them that might highlight some of the downsides to this old school carpool. What are some of the commonly noted flip sides to this method?
Right. Well, I mean, it's kind of weird because it mostly only works in one direction. So a few of the farther flung destinations like Vallejo, which is a little farther away from San Francisco, you can get a return carpool going in that direction. But most people have to come back over the bridge some other way at night. So you either end up taking public transportation or figuring out some other method to get home. One person I talked to has a foldable bike that they bring. You know, it's one of those things where also you don't get to pick the car that you ride in. You know, sometimes people feel like they have death-defying experiences. I talked to one writer who was tweeting that he thought he was going to die on a ride where he says that the car was filled with trash and that the dog was trying to steer the car.
And you can't rate. There's no app ratings here. So definitely you're going to run
exactly
into that.
So you're kind of stuck complaining on social media or some other way. And so definitely, Uber and Lyft, they're point to point. You go door to door. You have an app where you can either demand a refund or, rate your driver, things like that. So there's definitely huge advantages to that. But somehow this grassroots movement's just kind of stuck around as a good option. And part of that's because it's also, if you take Uber or Lyft, it's probably going to be, ballpark $10 maybe to carpool over the bridge. And so it's, quite a bit more expensive. for that option. So that's definitely one reason a lot of riders cited for taking the casual carpool.
We're speaking to The Wall Street Journal's Laura Stevens about why casual carpool might be an answer to Uber and Lyft for some commuters. You're listening to The Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, UberPool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for joining us. So, Laura, you figure in, you know, tech advanced San Francisco. Have any startups begun to cook up some sort of app-based answer to this? Is that what's next? Could that enhance a good thing, or perhaps some things don't need a tech makeover?
Well, it's funny. I mean, a lot of people have kind of looked at figuring this out from a tech angle, of course, and I talked to the Waze CEO, which was recently acquired by Google, and they've come up with a carpool solution, and it's actually closer in price range to casual carpool. That CEO was saying he actually took a lot of inspiration from casual carpool. He said that that's, you know, ideally how you want carpooling to work, if you can get it kind of going and established. And so he said that they did take inspiration, but right now they can only match one rider and one driver, so it takes three people actually to get across the bridge in the carpool lane.
Gotcha.
So right now they're not a solution yet, but they're working on it. And then I talked to some other startups who are going to be launching in the area soon, and they said that they think that they can crack the code. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. Super interesting story. I encourage everyone to check out Laura's piece at WSJ.com. Thanks as always, Laura.
Thank you.
That'll do it for this edition of the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York. Thanks for listening.
For more podcasts, check us out at WSJ.com/podcasts. Become a subscriber on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and now look for us on the Google Play Music app on Android devices.